This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
This episode is brought to you by Just Crack an Egg.
Molly, has your relationship felt strained lately?
Wait, you mean my relationship with breakfast, right?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it just feels like too much work for a weekday.
Well, I think you should head over to the egg aisle and pick up Just Crack an Egg.
I hear it's a hot, fluffy scramble that's ready in less than 2 minutes.
That's right. So just add a fresh egg over the chopped veggies, shredded cheese, and hearty meat and potatoes, and then stir, microwave, and reignite your love of breakfast. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about meal planning.
And my cat would really like to get our attention.
I keep thinking your cat's going to jump up in my lap.
But she might.
But it's not happening.
Yeah. It'll happen when you least expect it.
Great.
This episode was suggested by listener Emily. Thank you, listener Emily. Wait, did we say what the topic
yes.
was? Okay, thanks.
Meal planning.
I was thinking about the cat. Before we get into that topic, I have an update from listener Mo.
Which was also my dad's name.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listener Mo.
About leeks. And we, on the leek episode, we were wondering, like, how do you blanch leeks in the sense of, like, keeping the leaves white while you're growing them? Because we know, like, it's got to be kind of underground, but we didn't know what that really looks like out in the fields.
Yep.
And so listener Mo weighed in.
So listener Mo says, it's done the same as potatoes. You use a machine or a hand-drawn plow and push soil onto each row of leeks or potatoes. Not difficult at all, apparently.
I mean, if you gave me a hand-drawn plow, would I know what to do with it? No. But
do I know what a hand-drawn plow is? No.
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 But if it came down to it, if it was a life or death situation,
I'd figure it out.
Yeah, and we had to grow some leeks, we could make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, no, I mean, I can sort of picture it. I can picture it. And I'm glad to know that it's not difficult at all, because I like leeks.
Yeah.
I don't want to think anybody's, like, going to too much trouble, though, for my leeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which things do you want people to go to a lot of trouble for?
I want people to... What about you?
Cheese, maybe?
Cheese. That seems very troublesome.
Mm-hmm.
What about... I want people to go to a lot of trouble to keep my animals happy.
Okay,
healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today we're talking about meal planning.
Yes.
And I want to clarify...
Please.
...that we are not talking about, like, any commercial meal planning services or apps. We're not talking about any meal delivery services. We are also not talking about diets.
Right. We are just talking about, like, how do you decide what to cook when?
Yep. How do you, home cooks like us, plan your meals?
Yep. So how about memory lane? Like, when you were growing up, did your parents have a system for planning meals that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of, but my mom definitely... Well, there were definitely meals that showed up in, like, the regular rotation.
Yes.
And, I mean, I know I have some of those too, but they feel less... Like, if you were to ask June, are there meals that I make over and over... I don't know if she could come up with more than, like, one thing. Whereas my mom...
What would that one thing be?
I think she'd probably say beans and greens.
Okay.
Like, escarole and... Your cat is sniffing my face. Escarole braised with chickpeas.
Yeah.
Or braised with like white beans.
That sounds like the sort of thing you would make.
Yeah, doesn't it? So fucking condescending. Anyway.
Wait till you see my meals.
Anyway, so my mom, however, her like regular rotation meals, they didn't show up on any particular schedule, but there was meatloaf.
Yeah.
There was, which I loved, there was what she called breakfast for dinner, but it was steamed spinach with a fried egg on top and grated sharp cheddar cheese on top of that.
Oh, we talked about this before, and I was like, that is the most elevated breakfast for dinner I've ever heard.
To be honest, my mom did a fair amount of dieting when I was a child, and I think this was something that she got out of some diet she was doing. But anyway, it made a lasting impression because it was delicious.
Yeah, so I realized now too late that I should have checked with mom of the show, Judy Amster, about what her meal planning regime was when I was a kid, because I really don't remember. I also remember like there were favorites that would recur, but I don't know like how they got onto the agenda.
Yeah, I really don't know how they got onto my mom's agenda. Certainly, you know, like we did not live in a place where there were farmers markets.
No, that was more of a Tulsa thing.
Yes. Matthew, that episode hasn't aired yet.
Oh, damn it.
Anyway, there were not farmers markets in Oklahoma City when I was growing up. I have no idea how my mom planned meals when I was a kid.
Yeah, we should.
We should talk to our moms.
Yeah, we need to call our moms.
You want to call your mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's pause.
Okay.
Okay. I just talked to my mom. Mm-hmm. Do you want to call home also? No, okay. It's all right. My mom reports that basically it's not so much that there was a system, but that she had three picky boys. The range of stuff that she could get away with cooking was pretty limited. And so there would be a lot of recurrences, but also a lot of, can I push the boundaries with these jerks just a little bit?
So did that come down to like how she would plan out each individual night? Like there was always something that was reliable and something that was maybe going to be boundary pushing.
Yeah, I don't think the boundary pushing would come out every meal. So she said like a couple of things that would happen like on a once a week basis were like chicken with teriyaki sauce and pizza.
Okay. Okay.
And I remember roast chicken was pretty common too.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, mom of the show, Judy Amster.
Anyone else we should call? Well,
do you want to call a lifeline?
The phone. Yeah, our phone lines are open. Call
hey,
now.
Matthew, there's a podcast that I listen to called Mom Rage that has a phone number you can call and leave them a message.
Oh, yeah. Should we do that?
Well, I don't know how much it costs.
Oh, I'm sure we could do it for free or close to it.
It would be interesting to look into, but I don't know what we'd ask.
What would we
people.
Ask people to call in? Like, is there some sort of rage that people could experience and call us?
I don't know. Listeners, let us know. Do you want to be able to call in? And I don't know, tell us about your mom of the show.
Okay, maybe we wouldn't even air the calls, like it would just be a place for people to vent about something.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could handle that, actually.
I don't think so either. I feel too tender just thinking about it. Okay, but anyway, I should also add that my memory lane, it also includes my dad.
Yeah.
My dad did a lot of the nightly cooking on weeknights and on weekends, and I think that my dad would say that he did not meal plan ever, that what he did was he just opened the fridge and like, I think it was like a fun game for him.
Like, like a stump the chef.
Yes, exactly. Like, what can I do here? And then if he was especially proud of what he had produced, he would write it down. So my dad always wore like a button-up shirt.
Okay.
And he always had some index cards and a couple of pens
in one of his shirt pockets. Oh, that is so dad.
Isn't that so dad?
Yeah.
And anyway, he would, if he was particularly pleased with what he was cooking, either while he was cooking it or with the results, he would pull out an index card and write down what he had done. And he would give it some sort of like dumb name that was like a play on the name of our street or something like that. Like burgers, Elmhurst.
This is just like a free association string of words.
The street I grew up on was Elmhurst. Bergs.
A burger on Elmhurst Street.
I remember in particular, he wrote down once Berg's Elmhurst rice pudding.
Okay. That's good.
Anyway, but
that's like the
it's like the anti meal planning.
That's like the equivalent of a mic drop, I think. Like, yes. You know, nailed it.
Right.
Drop the index card.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I love that.
Matthew, but do you meal plan?
I do. I certainly have never named a thing that I made, I don't think.
No?
I don't think so. Have you?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, other than like beans and greens.
Okay. Which you think you coined that phrase?
The first person okay. to ever use that phrase.
Yeah, well, I invented spaghetti. I do meal plan up to a point.
Okay.
And this is something that I feel a certain amount of stress over and like have sort of had to like come to terms with the fact that I'm never going to be good at it in the way I imagine that I should be.
What are you talking about? You, oh my God, Matthew, you are the primary cook in your household.
Yep.
I think it's fair to say that wife of the Lori,
uh-huh.
wife of the show Lori, I think would agree. You are the primary cook in your household. You have dinner on the table 7 nights a week.
Pretty much.
Like right at 6 p.m. and it's delicious and varied and homemade.
But
what are you talking about?
So, I mean, that first of all, that's a bit of an exaggeration because like sometimes I order pizza and like...
Oh my God, Matthew, I'm going to backtrack okay. on everything yeah. I've just said.
So it's not that I don't like get there eventually. It's that the feeling of like, you know, it's 4 o'clock and I'm not sure yet what I'm making for dinner really stresses me out. But at the same time, like doing the necessary work to avoid that also stresses me out.
Oh, okay.
So, but I think like I'm in a pretty good place with that. And here's how it goes.
Is this because of your work in therapy?
I mean, it doesn't hurt.
No, go ahead. I was just thinking that you were in a good place with your like, you know, your self-confidence to
accept some things about myself and not beat myself up about them as much, I guess.
Yeah, go on.
I'm really good at beating myself up
oh
about
my God,
things.
Oh my God, me too. Yeah. I am a champ.
So here's how it basically works at this point. So ideally, like on Saturday or Sunday, usually Sunday, I will sit down and look at the calendar for the week and see, like, are there nights that we're going to be out or that, like, someone in the family is going to be out or just I'm going to be out.
And is this, like, online, like a Google calendar or something?
Yeah, it's like a Google calendar.
Okay.
And then I collect a pick of the week from wife of the show, Lori, and teenager of the show, Iris.
What does this involve? Like going to where each of them is in the apartment and asking, what's your pick of the week?
Well, yeah, basically. I mean, it's a very small apartment, so I usually don't have to spend a lot of time rustling them up.
Do you ask them to like submit it in writing?
Sometimes, I mean, I don't require that, but sometimes it will come in the form of a text.
Oh, okay.
But usually it's an in-person, just like, you know, so, and sometimes it's before I ask, like Iris will say, like, you know, pick of the week, homemade dumplings.
Okay.
Or that's one of Iris's favorite picks. Another favorite of hers lately is Salerno spaghetti, which is like spaghetti with garlic and olive oil and topped with lots of toasted breadcrumbs and
okay.
a fried egg.
Okay.
So some of Lori's favorite picks, spaghetti carbonara is a big one.
Okay.
Skillet lasagna.
Okay.
Both of those have come up recently.
And are there any, do you put any limits on this? Like, you know, like I know that you and Iris once made fresh udon, was it?
Yes.
And like that was extremely labor intensive, tedious, et cetera.
Yeah,
like,
I will say like if it's an overly ambitious pick, I'll say like I will get to that some upcoming weekend, but it's not going to happen this week.
Okay. Okay.
But most of the time, like I can squeeze in the request. And so that takes care of like 2 out of the 5 weeknight dinners.
And so then the rest of them are presumably your picks?
Yes.
Okay.
And I tend to go back to favorites pretty often.
And how do you keep track of these things?
I'm so glad you asked. So I always put it on the Google Calendar. Like if you look at my Google Calendar and we can take a look.
So you do it a week at a time? Oh man.
Yes.
Oh.
I don't always succeed in like getting the whole week on
this
ahead of time.
This is so exciting.
We'll post a screenshot of this. How
okay.
about that?
Okay.
I'll like turn off the part of the calendar with like my personal appointments.
Do you like put stars on days when you have sex?
I just realized Is there a way to put stars?
I don't know. I only use Google Calendar for our like family custody schedule.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I keep a paper calendar, but I circle like when I get my period.
Sure.
And when I was dating, I used to keep some sexy notes in there.
Cool. Okay, so like here's some dinners from the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
So Frito pie, dumplings. Oh, this was when I was out of town. Okay, hash browns, scrambled eggs and broccoli, Salerno spaghetti and cucumbers, curry rice, grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Okay.
Domino's.
Okay, this seems great.
But I can go back at least like 8 years and
Are
see.
Are you kidding? Yeah. This is so cool.
And see like what do we have for dinner? On any night.
Okay. So, for instance, we're recording this on a Thursday. Okay. So, presumably, this coming Sunday, you'll be planning next week's meals.
Right.
And will you, in doing that, will you consult previous weeks to get ideas? Like, when you sit down with the blank week on your computer, where are you pulling these ideas from?
So, generally, two sources. What's in the fridge and looking at previous like things I've cooked recently and saying, oh, yeah, I forgot I made that and that was good.
How often do you – so I'll do something like –
I really feel like I'm in the hot seat here and
no,
I
this
like
is,
it.
This is really interesting to me. Sometimes I will buy – like I'll buy some polenta in the bulk section at my grocery store. And I will have some left over and then, of course, it will just sit in my pantry. And I will keep looking at it. How often do you, for instance, look at something in your pantry and go, I'm going to use that up this week?
Definitely not as often as I should. Sometimes wife of the show, Lori, will go through the freezer and make the meat list, which is the list of meats that I've put in the freezer. And I'm usually pretty good at labeling and dating them, but then I forget about them.
Yeah.
And so she's like, okay, here's like five meats I found in the freezer. You need to cook these soon. I always make a dad joke about how I'll do it on Meat List Monday.
And is it just a given that you're going to cook dinner in your house?
Yes. And although teenager of the show, Iris, did cook dinner last night.
Is this like going to be a new routine thing?
God, I hope so.
What did she make?
She made like hash with some leftover braised pork and fried eggs on top.
That's great.
Scallions.
And to what degree did you have to be like, okay, so you want the heat to be on at such a level?
I was on call a little bit.
Okay. Gosh, that's really cool. What an achievement.
Thanks. Oh, and I wanted to add before I forget, like mother-in-law of the show, Susan, Lori's mom, has for like all her adult life, as far as I know, like always writes down, not in advance, but just like retrospectively, like after dinner, we'll make sure that she writes down on the calendar what they had for dinner. So she has a record like written on the wall calendar.
I love that. I know that probably a lot of our listeners are familiar with the website Dinner, A Love Story. And the books that have come out of it. Anyway, I fear that I'm going to butcher her last name. Jenny, I'm really sorry. Jenny Rosenstock?
That's what I was going to say, too.
Anyway, I can't remember off the top of my head whether she writes it down ahead of time or after the fact. But she has had like something like a dozen years worth of meals logged in her, you know, weekly agenda.
Now, if I was going to make a sex calendar, I would like, you know, keep penciling it in like before the fact, just like in a hopeful way.
Oh, you would? You would?
I mean, why not?
You might as well. I mean, aim high in all things. And what your mother-in-law, Susan, does also reminds me of something that my mom did, I think, when I was a kid. And I think she and my dad frequently cooked and had friends over. I remember that being like a regular way that they socialized.
Yeah.
And my mom had some sort of like a dedicated book that I think was for a period of time sort of de rigueur for new wives to have.
Oh.
Where you would write down like the menu of your dinner party that you had cooked and you would keep track of it. And you would write down, there were like lines for who the guests were and what kind of flowers you had in the centerpiece. Like this was a thing for I think my mom, this was a bit before her time even.
Okay.
But maybe like our grandmother's time, right? But every night in most of ours, it would be like me, my child.
Oh,
my
you're supposed to use this even on like not special night?
No, okay. No, you would use it only on special nights.
I mean, not,
nights,
not that it's not. Not that it's not special, to sit down
night
with your family and enjoy a meal together. I mean, when you think about it, maybe those are the most special nights of all.
Oh, I think I just heard your voice crack a little bit. Anyway, so, okay. I feel like I've gone in my adult life through many different phases of planning or not planning my meals. I think when I was in grad school, because cooking was like a really nice escape for me, I think I devoted a lot of brain space to planning what I was going to cook. Like all week, I would sort of get through doing my work by like fantasizing about what I was going to cook that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I was super cool in my early 20s. Yeah. So cool. And
if you were a cartoon character, it's like you'd always have like a thought bubble with just like a bowl of soup in it.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. No, I distinctly remember with my boyfriend in my early 20s spending an entire New Year's Eve making a whole bunch of Indian food, like making paneer from scratch.
Oh, that sounds great.
And washing like 4 pounds of spinach leaves to make our own like saag paneer.
Which then cooked down into like 1.5 cups of spinach.
Exactly. Making some sort of like black-eyed pea masala. I mean, we spent all day on New Year's Eve doing this.
Love it.
Yeah. Anyway, but I have to say that then when Brandon and I got married, because he loved to cook too, and if anything, he's a better like non-recipe cook than I am, we started having just sort of like a lot more like wing it meals. Like we were pretty devoted about going to the farmer's market, and then we would just sort of all week eat off of what we had, but in like permutations that I think if we had had a kid with us, I think we could not have gotten away with.
Like what?
Like for instance, Brandon, I remember when I first met him, really loved like bok choy, like baby bok choy,
raw bok choy.
And he would just like peel it off the bulb and like dip it in vinaigrette. We had many, many, many meals that were like some raw vegetable, like just dipped in vinaigrette and then like bread and cheese.
Okay.
Many meals like that for years.
Yeah. I like that is like appealing to me on kind of an intellectual level. But like whenever I eat like that, I always like then want the real meal afterwards.
I think because like a lot of my like formative adulthood was shaped by that time.
Okay.
I still like, for me, I really think an ideal meal is like some sort of like a big pile of vegetables and bread and cheese.
Yeah. I mean, I like
I could totally go down on that.
Yeah. I like the idea. For me, like an ideal meal is like something stir fried and rice.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but now I have to say, I don't ever meal plan the way that you do. I will often, I would say that generally I will cook 2 meals a week.
Okay.
And the rest of the time we will be eating leftovers of those meals or like some sort of random fallback thing that we can do with whatever's in the house. Like rice cooked in a rice cooker with a fried egg on top and furikake and some avocado.
Yeah.
Like that's always in the house. And it is what that's the kind of thing I will make if I am not cooking that night.
Yeah.
So to speak. But in general, really, I mean, and this made it very hard for all the years that I was doing food blogging. I really don't want to cook more than like 2 recipes a week.
Yeah.
I really don't want to.
I want to cook a recipe every night pretty much, but I want it to be really simple.
Yeah, I don't even want that much.
Yeah, no, I hear where you're coming from. Do you like, I mean, we did a leftover episode, I guess, but do you like repurpose leftovers or when you have leftovers,
no,
is it generally
just eat the leftovers?
Yeah. Okay.
But what I do want to say is, so when I do get fired up about like planning ahead of time, what I usually do, so if I, and like you, I sort of try not to acquire too many cookbooks because I just I don't have the bandwidth for it. But if I get a new cookbook that I'm psyched about, I will go through the cookbook and I will make a list of all the dishes from it that I want to make.
Do you do this on an index card?
No, I just do it on like a slip of scrap paper. Okay. And I will put it up on the fridge.
Yeah.
And it may take me like a year to even get through half of it. But then I will consult that whenever I'm like, I don't know what I want to make and I don't want rice and egg again or whatever. So I tend to use books in that kind of like really like cookbooks in that really intensive way.
Yeah, me too.
And then sort of reap the rewards of doing that over a long and disorganized time period.
Yeah. So you have like a you know, like a fiery, you know, new romance type of feeling, like fling with a cookbook.
Exactly.
And then when the initial passion wears off, you're just like, eh.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, the other day, so I had done this with Rachel Roddy's cookbook, her first cookbook. My gosh, I'm blanking on the, it was called Five Quarters when it was published in the UK. But anyway,
I don't know the book. What's the gist?
Rachel Roddy is, she is British, but she lives in Rome.
Is she related
family.
To Rowdy Roddy Piper?
Don't think so.
Okay.
Anyway, she started out writing a blog and she now writes a regular column for The Guardian. And she writes about Italian home cooking. She's an incredible writer.
Is Italian home cooking any good?
Anyway, I went through her first book like a year ago and made one of those lists. And I think I only have one dish left that I have not made from it that was on my list. But it's taken me like a year. So I've probably made like one dish a month. And inevitably, I can't even remember like about some of them, like what I was excited about in the first place. But I can like trust that I was excited.
Oh, this sounds
great.
And I'll
just go back to that recipe and make it because at some point I was really excited about it.
This episode is brought to you by Just Crack an Egg.
Matthew, have you been feeling kind of blah about breakfast lately?
Well, I mean, I've been feeling like breakfast has been a lot of work and a lot of cleanup, and that's not what I want to think about at like 7 in the morning before school.
Well, Matthew, I heard that if you go to the egg aisle at your grocery store, you can pick up this thing called Just Crack an Egg.
Oh, yes, I did it. It's a hot, fluffy breakfast scramble that's ready in 2 minutes.
How does it work?
Okay, so you open the little container. And it's got some little baggies of vegetables and meats and potatoes. And you dump them into the bowl. You crack an egg and stir it up. You microwave it for a little bit. You stir it a little more. You microwave it a little more. You stir it up and it's breakfast.
It has no artificial dyes, flavors, or preservatives. And I hear it tastes amazing.
Yep. And it's delicious. The one I tried was the Ultimate Scramble, which was great. There's also the Denver Scramble, the Rustic, and the All-American.
Well, don't wait for the weekend to get a little hot, hearty breakfast love into your morning.
Ooh, it's time to run with your arms wide open to the egg aisle and take breakfast back with Just Crack an Egg. This episode is brought to you by Grove.
Grove makes it easy to discover the best natural products to take care of your home and your family, and they make sure you never run out of your favorites.
Yeah, we got some boxes from Grove, and some of the best things in there, like, I mean, they have some great products of the brands you already buy, like Mrs. Meyers and Method and Seventh Generation.
Just yesterday, I used the Method toilet bowl cleaner that I got from Grove.
Oh, I love that.
I love it, too.
Yes. But some of my favorite things in the Grove box were Grove's own brand flagship products. Like, they have this great glass spray bottle. Like, you know how...
I love that.
Yeah, when you have a plastic spray bottle and it gets, like, gunky and weird and your plastic is leaching into stuff. Not with the Grove glass spray bottle. It is so pretty and satisfying to use.
And I should say, all these things were delivered right to our door when we wanted it. Free shipping, free returns, no questions asked.
And if you have a question, their Grove guides are always available.
Sign up for Grove Collaborative at grove.co/spilledmilk, and you'll get a $30 Mrs. Meyers gift set for free with your order of $20 or more.
That's grove.co, not grove.com/spilledmilk. Do people in your family ever make picks?
So I was just thinking about this the other day because I have to say, last week I had a kind of... I got really fired up. I went to the grocery store. I bought ingredients for 3 different things that I wanted to make over the course of the week. And 2 of the 3 were not very good. They were all new recipes. 2 of the 3 were not very good. And then I'm sitting there with my family eating these things and struggling to not apologize for it.
Oh, can we get into this? Can this be just like a special after school special kind of episode?
About when you're like feeling down on the meal that you've made.
Yeah. And, okay. So I'm pressing a special button that says we are absolved from any responsibility to be funny on this episode.
Because is just the sad part.
Right. So when dinner doesn't come out the way I was hoping,
distressing. I feel
like I have like I'm the biggest fuck up and like I've let my family down and I want to just like go curl up and disappear.
Yeah. I mean, last week I knew that one of the recipes I had made was not very delicious in part because I couldn't find the correct, I was using a certain type of ground poultry.
Okay.
And I was supposed to be using turkey thighs, ground thighs. I could not find ground turkey thighs.
Why did you not want to specify that? Is there?
Well, I don't. Anyway, I don't know. Okay. I don't want to implicate what book this came from whatever, because I think this recipe
that
is
turkey thigh book everyone was talking about.
I think this recipe is probably great.
Okay,
but I could not find ground turkey thighs.
Yeah,
and I was not going to grind it myself.
Sure.
Anyway, and so I knew that this was not going to be as delicious, and it wasn't. It was dry. It was blah. My kid, who loves meat, did not eat it.
Yeah.
That was distressing. And even though I knew exactly why this had happened, I was still so bummed, and I still have the leftovers sitting in my fridge 10 days later, in part because I feel too guilty to throw them away.
Uh-huh.
But yet none of us are going to eat them.
No, I'm giving you permission to throw away those now dangerous leftovers.
I know, they're really dangerous now. But anyway, then I did it again. I made this fennel dish that sounded really good. Now, I know how I like to cook fennel. I know how I like to eat fennel. I don't even need a recipe for it. But I saw this fennel recipe. It looked really good. It was quite simple, but it seemed like it was going to be delicious. It was super boring and bland and not nearly as good as what I usually do with fennel. Nobody in my family ate it but me. And I feel really guilty.
Yeah, this is the worst, like when I don't trust my intuition about a recipe.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, I knew that didn't seem right and I followed it anyway and it's not good and this is my fault.
Yes. That is, I would say, primarily what I feel when a dish doesn't come out. I'm like, I knew this was going to happen. I knew that about the turkey white meat. I knew that. But I did it anyway.
See, I like the pick of the week system. You know, my favorite thing, there are two things about it that I guess are sort of saying the same thing two different ways that I really like, which are, first of all, like it fills up like 2/5 of the weeknight meals that I need to come up with. But also, like, I love when someone tells me what to do and says, like, if you do this thing, specific thing, that will make me happy. And I'm like, oh, that is a thing I can do and that will make you happy. This is great for everyone.
Interesting.
Feeding someone exactly what they want you to feed them, like, perfect situation.
I just never thought about that. I feel like, well, maybe because my kid is young enough that I feel like there are so many things that I do. Like, she's still young enough that she's delighted with me as a human being.
Yeah.
She wants nothing more than just to snuggle me.
Wasn't like a phase when she was like 3 when, I mean, I guess like you can like be tantrumy and still like have your parent be your favorite person.
Oh, yeah. I'm big time, like, I am a star to June.
Good.
And anyway, so I feel like I'm never at a loss for ways to, like, make her feel loved or make her happy.
Okay, that makes sense.
And as for Ash is, like, so delighted with my cooking in general. She liked that turkey thing that was really dry. Frankly, I don't think she cared. But I did notice that she didn't eat the leftovers.
Uh-huh.
But she's not as much of a leftover person as I am anyway. But I've never thought about it, but I did. This past week, I started thinking, why am I the one who's always choosing meals? I should ask them what they want.
You should.
I should. Let
me see how it goes.
I'm kind of surprised. Yeah. It's never occurred to me before.
It makes me so happy.
I'll
really
try
Like, you know, when you told me exactly what you wanted me to do for your birthday, and I was like, I can totally do that.
And you totally delivered.
That was the greatest.
I told Matthew that I wanted him to compile all the recipes of his that I love and that I'm always like asking him about.
This happened on the air, so some listeners probably remember.
Even though all these recipes are available online through various like spilled milk episodes or in Matthew's books, I wanted them all in one place, and he did it. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
And it was fun.
Anyway, so Matthew, like when you are going through a cookbook.
Yeah.
Do you ever do this thing like I do where you make a list of all the things you want to make and then maybe you slot it into future meal planning? How
I
do you
do.
Keep track of that stuff?
So I will like put it on like a, you know, like a Google Doc or something. Mm-hmm. I don't keep this well organized. Usually I kind of know at this point that I'm only going to do that like within a very short, there's like a short window for that. And it has to be something I'm super excited about. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have like the dedication to do a whole cookbook the way you did. Like, but
I didn't do the whole cookbook. I mean, I did 10 recipes from it.
Like, I can do probably three.
Okay.
So like if there's a cookbook I'm excited about, there are probably three things in it that like I have to make this mm-hmm. and like I'll write those down somewhere and make sure they get slotted in within a couple weeks.
You know Tamar Adler's book, An Everlasting Meal?
Yes.
Everlasting Feast. Everlasting Feast. She has a whole chapter in it, I think, called How to Stride Ahead. And she uses this phrase, stride ahead, to refer to the idea that when you get vegetable, when you go to the grocery store, after you've gone to the grocery store, rather.
Don't do this at the grocery store. You will be arrested.
You come home and you prep all your vegetables. And that doesn't just mean like washing your lettuce and getting it all ready to be put into salads. It means basically if you're going to be cooking something with beets in it later in the week, mm-hmm. you go ahead and roast those beets. Or if you're going to be making a lentil salad with roasted carrots, you go ahead and roast those carrots so that you're that much further ahead on Thursday when it's time for a lentil salad with roasted carrots. How do you feel about that?
I feel like that's exactly the sort of thing that I would say, yeah, I should be doing things that way and like then beat myself up for not doing it. Like, I'm never going to do that. There's just no chance.
I've gotten quite disciplined about doing it with lettuce.
Okay.
Because if I don't like break down my lettuce right away and wash it, I will let it rot. So here's my thing. I really feel like the texture and flavor of roasted vegetables and boiled vegetables for that matter is best right when they're cooked.
Yeah.
So for instance, if I have I really like plain old steamed broccoli sometimes with salt.
I do too.
Like I really like that. But if I have leftover steamed broccoli and I put it in the fridge,
yeah.
I will not eat
it. No, me neither.
I won't eat it. So I, for as much as I understand, and I totally sympathize with all of us people who are struggling to get dinner on the table every single night, in spite of how much work we might have to do, I still would just rather come home and like throw that beet in the oven and have it freshly roasted.
Yeah. For me, like I kind of want the whole process, including the shopping, to happen like within a finite span of time. Preferably, it's because when it happens in an infinite span of time, that can be very inconvenient. Yeah. I love grocery shopping. I do it every day. Uh-huh. And like, you know, it's not that I literally like get all the ingredients for the meal that I'm going to make
it's very
that
European
night.
Of you.
But like, you know, when I can like go to the store and know that like, okay, I'm going to get these things on the list and, you know, combine them with these things that I know are in the fridge and that's going to be a good dinner tonight.
So wait,
that feels very satisfying.
So even though you sit down every Sunday
uh-huh.
and plan out your meals for the week, you like if you're having broccoli on Friday night, you won't just buy it when you go to the store on Sunday or Monday. You'll
probably
wait.
Not.
That's interesting.
It
to
depends.
Me.
Like if there's like a meat on sale that I'm after,
yeah.
then I will get that while it's on sale.
At what point do you make the grocery list? Do you make it each day or do you make it when you do the meal plan?
I will usually I will do the grocery list for the next day when I do the meal plan. But other than that, there's always a grocery list going.
I feel like I mean, you live in a much more dense and like urban part of Seattle than I do. Like
yes.
you can walk to a grocery store.
I can walk to three grocery stores within 5 minutes.
That's amazing. That is totally not where I live. I love this like idea of particularly, you know, like in other cities, especially in European cities and probably plenty of other cities in Asia and elsewhere where people are living in like urban environments and there are specialized food producers like cheesemakers or your spice vendor or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you can hit up all these stores like on the way home from your like bus stop or whatever.
Yeah.
Since I'm usually buying
a whole string of mongers.
A whole string of mongers. Mm-hmm. I love a good market
street. The cheesemonger, the ironmonger. Are there any other kinds of mongers or is it just those two? The love mongers.
Fishmonger,
of course.
I love that idea, but I just feel like for me, since I usually have to buy all my stuff like at a grocery store, mm-hmm. I try to only hit up the grocery store a couple times a week.
Yeah, like if I haven't gone to the store during the day, I feel like, what did I do with my day? It's such a like integral part of my day.
I like going to the grocery store sometimes, but not that. I mean, I'm not
being like normative about
this. No, like, I totally get it. Like, you truly get off on it.
I totally get off on it. I've been banned from all three stores. Partially for that and partially because I was trying to prep the ingredients in the produce department.
No, but what I was
they're like,
say,
sir, we sell chopped carrots right over
and
here.
And you're like, but I am striding ahead here.
Right. You cannot bring a chef's knife into the grocery store.
My dad loved grocery shopping, and I have very fond memories of him after dinner going out to the grocery store to get ice cream for us to have for dessert, mm-hmm. or to like pick up some tampons for my mom, yeah. or like stuff for the next night. Like, he loved it. He would go at like 10 o'clock at night. It was his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I like grocery shopping, but I do especially having like two people living with me who I think would not be as happy with like a big old salad and bread and cheese for dinner.
Yeah.
Now that I'm like, you know, doing more cooking, I definitely try to buy like a couple recipes worth of ingredients at a time.
Yeah. And I don't mean I will never do that, but not very often.
Yeah. That like, makes sense.
Sometimes often if I go down to Awajimaya, the Japanese supermarket, I will get stuff for two meals often. Mm-hmm. Maybe like some ground pork for like a stir fried ground pork and rice dish, and also like a box of Japanese curry mix for a future meal.
Do you
and a few different vegetables?
So Matthew,
yeah.
What if you have planned like do you ever change your meal plan based on the weather? I mean, I'm sure it changes seasonally a little bit. Maybe?
Seasonally, yes, but very much so. Like the weather on a given day, probably not. Except
so you don't consult the weather on Sunday when you're making your meal plan?
No, I guess not. I mean, the exception to that is like if it's suddenly like just disgustingly hot, and as longtime listeners know, like it's always 20 degrees hotter inside mm-hmm. my greenhouse of an apartment mm-hmm. than outside. And I was going to like roast something. I was just like, you know, fuck that.
Have you always done it this way?
I mean, always is a strong word.
Have you done this primarily for a while?
Yeah, for a while.
Huh. I feel really inspired.
Really?
This show doesn't usually inspire me.
Yeah, usually this show is just like
a big downer.
I mean, sometimes you probably get inspired to be like as
a better person.
Unlike me as possible.
No, Matthew.
Okay.
Anyway, no, I feel fired up to like go plan some meals.
Yeah, I'm curious now if like looking back at my meals, like how like over the course of like, you know, 2 months, like how many actual different things do I make? Like, I don't know if like it's like 30 and like each one repeats twice or if it's less than that
or
more than that.
Hold on. I know I'm like asking a lot of questions about this, but I'm sort of fascinated.
Like I said, I'm in the hot seat.
How often do you look at like a meal that you've planned for a night this week and just scrap it and go like, no, I'm making like grilled cheese and we're having like canned tomato soup? Or how often? Because I think part of the reason that I have never committed myself to planning meals ahead of time is that there is something, even though I'm sort of flying by the seat of my pants a lot, there's something really freeing about getting to decide usually on the day of what I'm going to make or just a couple days ahead of time. But I'm not committing like 5 or 7 days ahead of time.
Yeah, I definitely I reserve the right to make a last minute change, and that's not going to upset anyone. Well, I mean, it might if Iris was expecting one of her favorites, and and she comes home and like, actually, I'm going to make that tomorrow. That can be annoying, but you know, I mean, no, it's because it's more. Even if it's going to be more work, like it's more reassuring to like know like I have the plan and I'm going to execute the plan. Rather than like scrapping the plan makes me feel like I don't know what's going to happen today.
Basically, what you're saying is this is an anxiety management tool.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. Yeah. Okay. Well, right. Cool. Wow, this was really this was really interesting.
Yeah, I think this was our least funny episode,
but it was like informative.
But
it was
I think we learned a lot about ourselves. I don't think I knew all this stuff about myself. Like, are there things I didn't ask you about your meal planning practice that I should have because we talked so much about me?
Well, I think basically what was revealed is that I don't meal plan.
But it sounds like what you're doing is working for you.
It is. It's always worked for me. I do think I could do better about like using the things that I have.
I think everybody could do better and probably feels guilty about that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, there's always that situation where you're like, oh, I just found X in the freezer and now I'm going to use it and therefore I'm going to buy 8 more ingredients to use it. Yes, there's always that. But
I definitely have that feeling sometimes like when I realize I'm at the store and I've hit that threshold where like, wait a minute, like I thought I was being efficient by using this one thing and like my shopping list just hit 11 other things to go with it.
Yeah, I am going to tomorrow night. I'm making a Melissa Clark recipe that I found on the New York Times. I get the New York Times cooking section emails each week, like what to cook this week or whatever. Yeah. They linked to a Melissa Clark recipe that
is... What's the penalty if you get that and you don't cook the thing this week that they say you have to cook this week?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I would never dare cross
them.
Okay, yeah. The recipe Melissa I'm talking
Clark
about making...
Melissa Clark doles out frontier justice.
Vigilante justice. Yes. It's chicken curry with sweet potatoes and coconut.
That sounds great.
And it starts with a whole chicken that you break down yourself. And I happen to have a whole organic chicken that I bought the last time I was at Costco. Mm-hmm. And I've had it in my freezer. And I had 2 sweet potatoes, which is exactly the number that I need.
Uh-huh.
I have a can of coconut milk.
Wait a minute.
So hold on. I'm in that situation again, Matthew, where I had some of the principal ingredients to make this recipe. Therefore, I'm going to go out and buy 6 more ingredients that I did not have.
But
in order to make it.
That seems like too perfect to be a coincidence. Do you think Melissa Clark is like looking through do you have one of those Alexa things?
I don't.
I neither. But if I did, I assume Melissa Clark's eye would be looking through it.
I'm pretty sure that...
Why are we picking on Melissa Clark all of a sudden? I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, by the way, oh my gosh. Hey, at some point, can we do a pressure cooker show?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I just got an Instant Pot for my birthday. And then I checked out from the library Melissa Clark. Clark's cookbook of electric pressure cooker recipes. It's called Dinner in an Instant. And I'm about to make a big list and stick it on my fridge of things I want to make from that.
It's a Precker cooker. It's called Dinner in an Instant. I now imagine like interviewing.
You're going to love it in an instant.
That, yes. Carnation Instant Breakfast. But also that people must be calling the book Dinner in an Instant Pot like 5 times a day and driving her insane.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Anyway.
I don't have an Instant Pot. And I think if I got one, I would be the last person to get one.
I thought I was the last person to get one.
It's me.
Yeah, it's you. Anyway,
I mean, it seems cool.
It does seem cool. I have to say that I'm really interested in what it can do for like meats and things.
Yeah.
Things that you want to be like, things that would benefit from moist cooking and that you want to be unctuous.
Well, it's definitely time to finish off the show because you just said moist and unctuous and everyone turned it off anyway.
So
you can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com where we will post a screenshot of my recent month of my meals. Maybe we'll take a vote.
Keep an eye out in September.
See
if you can figure out Matthew's code system for what day he got his period.
No, I'm going to turn off all the calendars other than the dinner calendar.
Oh, Darn.
Okay, maybe I won't. Maybe like, I don't know. I don't even want to talk about incriminating things involving a calendar that brings up some recent political events that are too depressing
never
to
mind,
think
never
about.
Never mind. Okay.
So that's at SpilledMilkPodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook, Facebook.com/SpilledMilkPodcast, where we would like to hear about what is your meal planning regime. I think there are a lot of different ways to do it. And, you know, we've barely scratched the surface.
There are a lot of different ways
Ways to do it. And I have codes for all of them on my calendar.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Come here.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.